bring your needs to the altar. And let's just let him take control this morning. Amen. That'd be okay. And I wonder if we can just bow our heads. If you play that just for a minute, if we could just bow our heads and just invite the Lord this morning. If you have a special need on your heart, if you would just put your hand up to the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we come, Lord, this morning again, Lord, I'm unworthy to stand in front of these people, but Lord Jesus, I pray that you move me out of the way. And Lord, speak to hearts this morning. Lord, speak to situations and needs in this building. Lord, not something maybe even in my notes, Lord, but something that would just speak directly to these people here this morning. And Lord, I pray for this pastor. Lord, I pray for this congregation. I pray, Lord, you would just give them a renewing, Lord, and a refreshing, Lord, from your Holy Ghost. And Lord, I pray that everything that would be done, Lord, in the remainder of this service would be for your glory and for your honor. I pray, Lord, you would just move us out of the way, each one of us, Lord, so that we can receive the full benefits, Lord, of this service. And I pray, Lord, you would just come by our way, touch our hearts, Lord, in a special way this morning. Move upon us, Lord, we pray. And Lord, I ask, Lord, that this word, Lord, would not just be words of a man, but words of life to the people this morning. Lord, help us to go away happy, saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We'll give you all the praise and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Just want to say a special thanks to Brother Tony and the church here and his family and all of you for allowing me this opportunity to stand here and speak to the people. And I know I don't take that lightly. I know a pastor, when they have to step aside and they let somebody else in the pulpit, I know that they're putting trust in that person. But most of all, I want to say we just trust the Lord this morning that He's going to speak to our hearts. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, and we'll read verse 21 through 23. Genesis 2, 21. And if I could title this morning, I'd like to title it The Awakening of the Bride, and just kind of go a different direction than we did last night. And I pray that was a blessing to you.
Amen.
And I believe it's just important in this time to always just remember that we need a renewing. You know, when we start to get stale and we start to get cold, and we all do it. We all attend to at times, get cold on God a little bit. And and as your pastor said last night, we need to have the Bibles open and be reading our Bibles and praying every day. Amen. The prophet taught us that a Christian would do those things. We pray and read our Bibles every day. That's simple, but it works. And so we want to just continue to do those things as Christians. I believe it's good to hear the tapes. I believe it's good to be familiar with the message of the hour. And then, you know, when the pastor's standing up here, that word starts to ignite. And next thing you know, you become a powerhouse for God. And so we just want to continue to do those things. But in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." And if we just go ahead and add verse 24 there, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And if you have your Bible still open, if we could turn over to Psalms chapter 85 and verse 4. Psalms 85 and verse 4. Amen. You love the Lord this morning.
Amen.
Psalms 85, verse 4. "Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly." And you may be seated. May the Lord add his blessings to the word this morning. Now, in the Garden of Eden there, you'll see a perfect time, a time where everything was perfect. There was no sin. There was no sickness. All these things were just perfect. And God takes a man, and he makes him out of the earth, and he makes him in his own image. And when he makes the man, he realizes the man is lonely, and he needs a wife. And so instead of going and getting another piece of dirt and making the man a wife, he actually turns and takes and causes a deep sleep to fall on Adam and takes the wife directly from the man. So you'll find that that is the first time in the Bible you'll see a male giraffe and a female giraffe and a male baboon and a female baboon. All of them come from the dirt. And so they were not made. It was not flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, but it was just another in the image. It was another thing in the image. But in this demonstration here this morning, God actually takes a woman from the very flesh of a man. And so she was not just a byproduct, but she was not just another human, but she was an actual part of the one human. So you can say that all human life started in Adam, and Eve came from Adam. So just to lay a background this morning, I'm not going to preach on that too much, but I just want to lay a background for where we're going, because if you look, Brother Branham calls this a type and a shadow. The Old Testament is just a type of what was going to happen in the New Testament. So when you look all the way back there, you look through Scripture, God had already had a plan of redemption in his mind from the very beginning. Can you say amen? And so you can see there that God had a specific way to do something. Why? Because he wanted to see a bride in the future that would come from the very side of Christ himself, from the very body, the very spirit that was in Christ, would also form a second Eve. Can you say amen? So Brother Branham would go like this. He said, hybriding first started in Eden. It started in Genesis. It's the beginning. That's where Brother Branham teaches. That's the seed chapter. And it ends up over here in Revelation at the second coming of Christ. Now remember correctly, that's why each generation has its own revival. It gets a chance at the word. Can you say amen? He said then they hybrided. Instead of taking on, they go somewhere else. So you'll see that in the Garden of Eden was the original revival. It was a time where everything was perfect. They could rejoice. They could rest. The promises of God were there. They could walk around the garden in the cool of the day. Everything was perfect, but they had to denominate. We'll just use that word there. They had to make something of their own. They had to do something outside the confines of the word. And when they did that, that's when death set in. And so you'll see the same way today. When a church starts out in revival, and the church is always, and they're on fire for God, and it's happened all through the ages, and we'll have some quotes here for that. But Brother Branham said they would start out, and they would be a real revival, but the cycle of death would come in. Why? Because of one word they would disbelieve, or because of one thing they decided that they wanted to do a little different. But see, the program of God was always perfect, but somebody had to do it their way, and that's what caused death. So if you're in the will of God, if you're in the program of God, you'll find that God is right there to back you up. His word is always going to be with you. He's promised to walk with you. No doubt when they walked through the garden, there was, they could walk by the tiger, and there was no death there. There was no thought of death in the lion and the tiger. Everything was peaceful. Everything was perfect. But because of one sin, one unbelieving thought, because of just one word they decided to disbelieve, then the whole thing becomes death. And it becomes a cycle of revival and death. You'll see there would be birth, and then there would be death. There would be life and death. And all these things started by disbelieving one word. And so you see how important it is today for the bride to stay with the word of God in order to break the cycle of revival and death. So in Genesis chapter 2 and 15, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So he's given them everything, but he puts them on free moral agency.
Yeah.
It's all yours. It's all perfect. Are you with me so far? Everything's good, but you're put on free moral agency. You have a right to choose whether you want to be in revival or whether you want to choose death. And so, and ever since the beginning, humans have always chosen wrong. But I believe in this day, a prophet tells us, and I believe we can prove it by the scriptures and the word today, that there is a bride who will not fall by deception. Can you say amen? But this bride is going to stay in line with the word. Oh, she might get out of line, but there was a prophet that would come and scream out, stay in line. And so she would not fall away. She might get out of line for a minute, but she's going to get right back in line. And so we want to see the first Eve was not our type. she was just a, she was an anti-type. Brother Brandon would go into this. He would say that she was one that would actually fall, but he said the second one could not fall. Why? Because the first one was put on free moral agency, but there was no blood to cover the sin. The second one was put on free moral agency, but there's a blood that covers when she would get out of step. So we want to just go on this a little bit deeper this morning, and I hope this is a blessing to you. Amen. So are you all still awake? I hope I didn't wear you out last night. If I hurt your feelings, if I stepped on toes, I hope that's okay. Because I believe what we need to do this morning is just go ahead and just have church. While we're here, we might as well have church. Amen. And so, Brother Branham said it like this: a revival is not bringing in new members, but is to revive what you have. Can you say amen? So you can see that there is a cycle of revival and death. But in this day, you may have a meeting one weekend, and you may have a service the next weekend. It may not look like revival, but I want to propose to you this morning that the revival in this generation cannot die. It's not how you feel on Sunday morning, and it's not how you feel on Monday morning. It's not how you feel on Wednesday night. But this revival actually is an ongoing revival. Why? Because it's not built on feelings. It's not built on sensation. But it is built on the Word of God. Can you say amen? So this revival, you say, well, I don't feel revival fires burning. But you are a part of the end time revival. And so if you're in this revival, then you can't die. Can you say amen? So this revival is not one that can produce death again. Because this revival was started by the Word of God. And this revival can't die. Why? Because this message cannot be denominated. And when you denominate something, that's when death comes in. So this message cannot die. Why? Because it is the forerunner to the message, to the coming of the Lord. It is the appearing of Christ in our day. It is God coming down and forming himself a body on the earth so that he can live through you, and you can't die until the rapture takes us out of here, and then we'll see that we cannot even taste death. Why? Because a believer, even if you go by way of the grave, a believer cannot taste death. Because a believer can't die. Brother Brandon teaches us that in the message. And even the Bible teaches us that when the resurrection comes, those that are dead already, those that are dead in Christ, they will rise first. Can you say amen? And we're going to meet those who are alive and remain. We're going to meet them with our Lord in the air. Why? Because we cannot die as believers. So you're going to look around, you're going to see your loved ones come up, and you're going to see men that have gone on before you. We was talking about some old brothers last night that have gone on. Amen. I believe we're going to see them when the resurrection starts to take place. I believe we're going to see them, and then we're going to be caught up with them to meet our Lord in the air. I still believe in a rapture of the church. And I believe that we have Bible for that. So when you see the world, and I've actually seen this online not too long ago, there was a group that was saying that there was no such thing as rapture, there was no such thing as any of these things. Well, the problem is they missed the awakening of the bride. Can you say amen? Yeah. And so how would you believe in something if you missed the very beginning of the awakening? If you missed the word that was open in your day, then you cannot see the opening of the word. But I'm thankful today to be a part of a message that is the revealing of Jesus Christ in our day. We're not just here to have church. We're not just here to play church. But we're here to live out the prophecy that is being fulfilled in our hour. Can you say amen? So this day, this scripture is fulfilled. If we can say it like that. Brother Branham said, did you ever see the sea have a revival? Sure. When it goes to leaping and jumping and the waves are beating, there's not one drop of water more in it than it was when it was perfectly quiet. But it's got a revival. It throws all the trash up on the shore. That's what it does. And that's what the church needs tonight, is a revival to throw all the nonsense out of it and throw it out on the shore so they can get back to the gospel solid foundation. Can the church say amen? Now, if you're looking for a worldwide revival, I'd like to go ahead and say it just as a prophet would say it. It's over for the world. There's not going to be a national revival. There's not going to be an international revival. There's no move for the church, if we call it the denominational churches. There is no move for them churches. The Pentecostals can shout, and the Charismatics can run the aisles, and they can speak in tongues, but there is no revival in those churches. Well, I can go ahead and prove it to you. Why? Because they denominated around something that they believed was right, but it was not the fullness of the word. Are you still with me? The fullness of the word is what brings revival, not a denominational idea of revival. So just shouting and running the pews, those are good things. And sometimes when you feel good and you have a personal revival, then you'll say amen a little louder, and you'll maybe run a little bit more, and maybe you'll shout a little more often. But that is not a sign that the church is in revival. The church being in revival is people, men and women, boys and girls, actually growing up into revival and manifesting the word that is changing them and getting them ready for a rapture. That is an ongoing revival. It started when you were born again and you actually receive the message of the hour and you actually see you see the word for yourself. It's not daddy's opinion, mama's opinion. It's not a grandfather's opinion. See, we're not grandfathered into this, but we were born into this revival. We were born into this family. We were taken from the very spirit of Christ himself, and we were created to be in this revival. And the good thing is, we've been put on free moral agency, but we have already been told that we cannot fall. Can you say amen? So there's no fall in this bride. There is no falling away in this bride. Yes, you'll make mistakes. Yes, you'll do things that you shouldn't have done, but the bride will come back and repent and be covered by the blood, and it's as though you never did it in the first place. Can you say amen? So that's what I love about this message. It's not just a book of rules. It's not just a book of do's and don'ts, but it's actually a revival in my soul. It's a revival, Brother Daniel, for you and your family. Why? Because you're feasting on the word of the hour. It is the spiritual food in due season that is bringing the bride into a revival. Can you say amen? Amen. So, Brother Remsen, America has been condemned. And what did she do? According to the vision, she elected the wrong person. And he said, I don't know how long it'll ever take to run out, but it will someday, thus saith the Lord. He said, it will. She's on her downward move right now, and she will never come back again. Now, this is talking about America. This is talking about the church world. This is talking about denominations. And he said, she's gone. That's right. She's been gone since 1956. When she condemned and turned away God from the great revival hours. Now, if you look back in that time and you actually see that there were all kinds of revivals going on, and you'll see the anointing that was on the earth at the time, a prophetic anointing on the earth, actually caused a worldwide revival. You would see men like A.A. Allen and Jack Cove and Oral Roberts. They were feeding off the anointing of the great. Can you say amen? Why? Because, and it wasn't that they were bad men. These were, many of them, good men. They were doing something for the Lord. And Teal Osborne, some of these men were friends to the prophet and would ask him, you know, can we pray for the sick and will they get healed? Absolutely you can. Why? Because God will use anybody he can to lay hands on the sick. And if you believe the word, amen. Many of these men were good men, but what was it? They sold out to a denominational idea. They sold out to an opinion of man instead of staying with the light for the hour. So it was good as far as they went. They were right with the prophet when it was all in the first pull and the second pull. But remember, they couldn't handle that third pull opening of the word that would actually unite the bride. Not to unite it in one spot here in Van Buren or one spot in Jeffersonville or one spot in Tucson, but it would unite them to Christ, which is the word. So you'll see that it is not a uniting of one place. It is not a gathering in one spot. Why? Because it is a universal rapture. And so it would be against scripture. It would be against the message for everybody to come to one place and be, you know, be so together that, well, if this brother says it, then we're just going to agree with him whether we see it in the word or not. No, you've got to have your own revelation. You've got to have a personal salvation. Amen. It's not something that this brother told me, or your pastor can't, he can preach the word to you, but he can't give you revelation. Amen. Revelation comes from God himself. Can you say amen? And so we see that the revival is not just a workup. It's not an emotion. It's not just a good preacher. What it is a revival is you and Christ becoming one, and then you are in a constant revival. How can you die if you are one with Christ? He can't die, so neither can a believer. Can you say amen? So we see the revival is gone for America. We see the revival is gone for the nominal church. Why? Because Christ is on the outside of the church. He's knocking, trying to get in, but he will not be allowed into these churches. Why? Because they would have to dress different. They would have to act different. They would actually have to believe the word. And so why would Christ be put out? Why? Because it's just like when he came the first time. Well, it doesn't match the way we thought he would come, so we're not going to allow him here. He didn't come in the way we expected him, so we just can't believe that that's really Christ. But he came in such a way that it would actually blind those that were too wise to receive him. It would blind those that were looking for him in a carnal way. It would blind those who had a preconceived idea of how he should come. But he would come to those who were looking for him.
Right.
Amen. He would come to those who were looking for his appearing. And he would come to them in such a humble way. And he would reveal to them that this is the secret of your heart. And he would tell them who they were. Amen. Come on, somebody. We've seen Christ revealed in our day. Aren't you glad about it? Amen. We have seen the same thing happen again to prove that he came again in a body of flesh. Now listen. I don't make a prophet the same flesh as Jesus Christ, and you shouldn't either. Because Brother Branham said, if you make me Jesus Christ, you make me Antichrist. But it was the ministry that was being shown through, not the Son of Man, but a Son of Man, revealing the Son of Man. And it was showing you that the same thing he did on earth is the same thing happened again. And he's pointing you right back to the same one who walked the sea shores of Galilee. And he would say, look at him, that is the one, he's worthy. I'm not worthy to stand and open the seals. I'm not worthy to stand here and preach these mysteries. But he said, there is one who came, and he's worthy, and he's here. And Brother Branham said, that is my ministry, to declare that he is here. Can you say amen? And if he's here, then don't tell me the revivals are gone. Because if he's here, I'm in constant revival with him. I'm in constant fellowship with him. It don't matter how I feel on Monday morning. I am in the bride's revival. So the bride's revival is not coming just to build bigger churches. But I would actually like to say it like this. I believe that the bride's revival I believe that the numbers may get smaller and smaller and smaller. And I know we all want to grow the church and all those things, but listen, let's grow ourselves. Right. Amen. Let's grow the individuals. Let's grow someone here that could be a powerhouse in Van Buren. And let's let the revival be me. You know, when the little policeman was standing there and he was waving around his baton or whatever, and the man walked up to him and said, "Where is the Welsh revival?" He said, "You're looking at the Welsh revival." Amen. He was revival. Why? Because he had been in contact with the spirit of revival. And he received the word for that time. Why? And so the word was actually made. Listen, this man was on the job. He was at work and he was still happy. That'll show you're in real revival.
Yes.
Amen. You can't. A Christian has no business going around and having a long face and gloom and doom. No, we are in revival. Yeah. Why? Because we have received the message of the hour. It's not how I feel about it. It's what I know, that God has sent a message directly to me in this day.
Amen.
So it is a word revival. It's not an emotional revival. You'll see, and if I get back on my notes here, we'll be okay. He said, don't think we got revivals. We have it. Oh, they got millions and millions and millions of church members, but not a revival, nowhere. And he actually says, and I think we talked about this last night, and it kind of come back to me this morning. He said in the third seal, and I want you to remember in the third seal, Brother Branham was still preaching that we need a revival, and there has not been a revival yet for the bride. And in the third seal, he says we haven't. He said they got millions and millions of church members, but not a revival nowhere. The bride hasn't had a revival yet. There's been no revival there, no manifestation of God to stir the bride yet. See, we're looking for it now. It'll take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again. He said, now he'll send it. He promised. Now watch. Now, those that were watching actually would see what he said just a little bit later. And he would say it like this. He said, now this messenger of Malachi 4 and Revelations 10:7 is going to do two things. One, according to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers, and he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelations 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. Now, so Brother Branham's telling you one place it's going to take those seven unknown thunders to wake this bride up, and then he's telling you that they were the mysteries contained in the seven seals. So what you'll find, if you're still looking for revival, then I believe you've already missed the revival that is coming our day. I hope that's okay. It's okay to look for personal revival. And that's what I was trying to start here with my foundation was, well, there is a revival for you personally. There is a revival for you in the church. Sometimes you get a little cold and you start getting around Laodicean people and you start acting like Laodicean people. But remember, you need a revival. You need to get yourself in the presence of God and revive yourself. Amen. You need to become so close to God that you desire to read your Bible again. You desire to hear the tapes again. Amen. There's a desire in your heart. You need to feed that so much that you actually are on fire for God. But what you're seeing here now out is you're seeing that there's a constant revival because of the word that you're feeding on is reviving the people. Amen. It is not a dead letter. I don't believe this message is a dead letter. The only time this message is dead is when someone would get in this pulpit that hasn't got an ounce of the Holy Ghost and they would try to teach it from an intellectual conception and then it may become a dead letter to the believer. But this message was preached under the anointing and it is an anointed word in this day and in the hands of men of God like your pastor and like Brother Daniel sitting here, then I believe this message is just as alive as it was when it was preached in 1963, 1964. This message is still the revival that you need.
Amen.
And so if the revival fire is in the Word, then what do? We're not looking for a revival to come. We didn't miss the awakening of the bride, but we are participants in the awakening. Can you say amen? Now there were healing campaigns, there was all kinds of revivals that continued on even after Brother Branham left the scene. And there was many. It wasn't like it was in the early 40s and 30s and 40s and things like that. But they were still saying revival, revival. And they were still looking for revival. Now, Brother Branham would say it like this. He said that there was a paper going around. It was the Herald of His Coming paper. And he said that Brother Jack Moore and them would be putting out this paper. And he said it was a fine paper. It was a good paper. One of the best, he said, on the field. But he said, they'll hardly print anything unless it's about fast pray, sound a trumpet, fast pray. It's all you hear, fast pray. We're going to have a great breaking of the day. There's a great thing going to happen. All of you pray, pray. We're not too late yet. He said, why do they do that? Why do they do that? They want a great awakening. And they're crying and believing that there will be an awakening. They're good people. What is it? What have they done? They have not recognized the awakening of the bride. What can you say, man? So they're looking for something off in the future when they're failing to see what God has already done and what God is doing now. So what you'll see is this happened. This is not just worldly people. This is not just denominational churches. But you'll see that spirit creep into the message. And oh, if a prophet could come back and tell us this, and if a prophet could come back, we'd have prayer lines again. I say we can lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I believe that we have the ability and the authority to stand here and preach the word of God and souls can be saved. Why? Because we're not preaching our own thoughts. We're under the messenger, saying what a messenger said. And the anointing coming down on the people, changing hearts, changing lives, and doing just what it did when a prophet was on earth. You say, well, if he was here, he could discern the thoughts. Listen, that was just one to an age. A prophet teaches us that. That was just one gift, and it was just to get the people's attention. We're not looking at the gift. No. We're looking at what the gift had forerun. We're looking at what would come after the gift. And so the gift would come and get your attention, but after the gift came and got your attention, then there was a word that had to follow the sign. Can you say amen? Yeah. Now the sign would come, and that was just to wake the people up and show them, hey, look, there's going to be a great awakening now, but then they missed the awakening because it wasn't attractive enough to them, and so they missed the awakening because it was a word awakening, and they were looking for an emotion of 1906, and they were looking for something, more speaking in tongues, and they're looking for more gifts, and they missed the very awakening. Why? Because it was the word, and we can look all the time and see that the word was already promised to come. It's Malachi 4, amen. It was to turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the Pentecostal fathers, not to the gifts, but to the faith of the Pentecostal fathers. In Revelations 10 and 7, it was not to come and just open part of the book or part of the seals, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mysteries of God should be finished. It wasn't just a partial finishing or we're going to open half the seals or we're going to open half the word to you, but it was an entire opening. And Brother Branham said those seven seals have been opened. Now I know that there's still a secret part there, and I know we can go into that. We don't have time today. I know there's a secret part of the day and the hour that no man knows, and we're not going to know that. But what we do know is that the word has been revealed to us. Amen. And there is going to be a bride that is called out by the opening of the word. So let me try to break this down. If there's any young people here that don't know, if you think that everybody's got a Bible. Amen. Everybody's got a Bible. Every denomination's got a Bible. They may have different versions now, but even years ago, everybody probably used a very similar version. Everybody's got a Bible, and they can read the Bible, and they can look at it, and they can go in there, and they can read Malachi 4 just like you can read Malachi 4. But when they're reading it, what is it? It's sealed to them because they have not seen the opening of the Word. So they can read Revelations 10 just like you can read it. What can you say, man? Yeah. They can read every scripture. Luke 17, they can read it just like you can read it.
Yeah.
They can read Mark 16. They can read all these scriptures just like you read it. But there is a seal on it, and they cannot see past the seal. Why? Because they've got to see the word that came and actually opened the seals to us. Amen. It broke the seals and opened the word to the people.
Yeah.
And that's why these people are not in revival, because they're looking for an awakening. They're looking for a revival. They're looking for something to come, but the bride knows it has already taken place. Can you say amen? I hope this is okay this morning. I'm not trying to teach in your church, but I'm just preaching what a prophet said, and I hope this is okay.
Right.
Amen. So we don't want to fall into the trap of, well, I want to get over here, and I wish we had a revival like this church, or I wish we was on fire like this church. Well, listen, the Pentecostals of 1906, they had a real revival, but they failed. Even with the emotions and with the gifts and with all the great things that they did, they could not go into the opening of the word. Why? Because they stayed there and they denominated on speaking in tongues and the
right.
gifts of the Spirit. Now, these were good things. It was a light for their day. It was a thing that had to be restored to the church. Can you say amen? But it was not enough, and it did not go far enough. And so the people of that day would actually denominate, and no matter how loud they shouted and how great they thought they had it, they were dead when they denominated. What can you say amen? And so it was a cycle of revival and death. Over and over you will see a cycle of revival and death. You will see that they would start out on fire for God, and they were the move of God for that day. They were where God was working at that time, but they failed to see when a prophet came and said that this is the third pull. This is the opening of the word. This is what God is doing in this day. It is a word revival, but that wasn't good enough for them. Why? Because it didn't make the flesh feel as good. What can you say, man? It didn't make them feel like they could. They didn't like the fact that the word would come and put the gifts that they had in order. What can you say, man? And so he didn't say we're doing away with the gifts, because he was a word prophet. He believed everything that the word said, but he would come with an order to the gifts. And so the people would stand there and they would say, well, he must be false because he's trying to put the gifts in order. He's trying to do this. What authority does he have? Little did they know that was God moving in the revival of the hour, and they missed it. Why? If they'd have just looked at history, they'd have saw that the ones before them did the same thing they did. Can you say amen? So Luther, when he come along, amen, that was the revival of that day. That was where God was working, amen. God was working through Luther, and Luther comes along with a message of justification, and the just shall live by faith, and he comes along and he says, listen, this is the word for the day, and he goes against the Catholicism and the move of the hour, and he comes out, and God was moving. That was a revival right then. And had the Lutherans walked on into the Wesleyans and into the Pentecost and into the opening of the word, they would have had the fullness. Can you say amen? But God allotted a little light there for a certain time, and there was a people there to receive the word and line up to it, or God wouldn't have sent it. There has to be a people that are willing to receive the gospel that is sent. Can you say amen? So God sends Luther at that time, and Luther, he sees the light for the hour, and he becomes the forerunner and the messenger to that age. But what happens? Pretty soon they become Lutherans, and the church was speaking. Sure, Brother Raymond said the Lutherans actually spoke for God in that age, and so they were the voice of God in that time. But the problem is, they would denominate around an idea, and they would denominate around what they saw, and they failed to see that the Wesley message was coming.
Right.
They failed to see that there was more light for them, and so they denominated, and where there was a live message of Luther, then they died as Lutherans. They died even though they were the real move of God in that day. So then they would die. So then Wesley here comes along, and he's got a sanctification message, and he comes along and tries to add to that what Luther had. And he was right. He was what the people needed for the time. And there was a little group that would accept what Wesley had, and the rest of them would turn it down. And this Wesleyan group here would be in revival, and the revival fires would start again, Brother Branham said. But then if you've watched just a few generations later, they forgot where they came from, and they went right back and denominated again. And then the 1906 Pentecostals, they come out of that, and they come a little bit farther, and they come in through the gifts of the Spirit, and they accepted things that the Wesleyans wouldn't accept, and the Lutherans wouldn't accept, and they would accept a part of the scripture that they didn't accept. But then when the word would come and the revival, the real revival would come, they would turn it down. Why? Because they could not accept the fullness of the word. They were not foreordained to it. They were not predestinated to it. But there is a people who has accepted the light for her hour. They have accepted the word for their day. And they're not going to die with the denominational spirit, but they're going to accept the full word for the hour. And those people will be on revival, fire in revival for the Lord until the coming of the Lord. Can you say amen? So we're not here to die and be another cycle of revival and death. And we're not here to just, no, we're here to break cycles. Are you with me now? Yeah. Amen. We're here to break cycles. And in our families, we're here to break cycles. Just because your dad was a believer, you've got to break the cycle. And you've got to actually become a believer too. Right. You can't just be a halfway church member because your dad was a good church member. Can right. you say amen? Yeah. You can't say, well, I believe the message of the hour because my daddy believed it. No, that's not going to get you in. No. You've got to have a personal experience right. for yourself. Yep. And accept the message of the hour for yourself, and that will become the revival to you and to your family. Can you say amen? And so it's not good enough to go in and say, well, I believe the prophet's he's a man of God, and I believe he was a prophet. No, you've got to believe that the message that came with it. Amen. It wasn't just the messenger. You can believe, many believe the messenger. You can go look it up on old TBN videos, and they'll say, oh, Brother Branham was a prophet, and one man even said, I walked into the Portland meetings, and it was a God man. And they could see that the man had a gift of God. They could see that he was a prophet, but they failed to recognize the message that would come, and that is what woke up the bride. Can you say amen? So you wonder, why is the bride awake with the word? Yeah, well, we don't feel awake this morning. I know it's Sunday morning and it's hard to preach about being awake, but let me just go ahead and tell you something. If the word is on the inside of you, then you are awake. If the word is on the inside of you, I don't care how you feel. I don't care how many times you spoke in tongues or didn't speak in tongues. If you have the word on the inside of you and it is changing you every day you get up, and you're a better or you're a worse person. But if the word is in there working, then if you failed one day, the word's going to get up and try again the next day. And you become better Christians every time you go to church. You don't fall back into Laodicea. You don't fall back into the spirit of the age, but you become more and more like what the word has made you, and you become the very image of what the word is. What can you say, man? So God is not wanting a people who are just gonna say, well, I'm okay with the way I am, I'm satisfied with the condition of the church. No, we want to become the fullness of the word in our day. There's got to be somebody that will live out the revelation of this day. Can you say amen? So you can see from the very beginning, God had a bride. He had to wake her up. He caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he brings forth the bride, and then he wakes them up together, the bride and the groom. Why? She come forth from him with the same spirit of him, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And Brother Brandon would actually say, he said, there's a bride on the earth now that is bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. She is him. You've heard him say it. It is the rising of the sun. Brother Branham said, he said, this bride will do the same thing he did. Amen. She's going to be doing the same works. Why? Because if you have the spirit of Christ, then you're going to do what Christ did. He said, if you had the spirit of Dillinger, you would be doing what Dillinger did. Amen. If you have the spirit of a bank robber on you, you're going to have the spirit of a bank robber. Amen. You're going to be a bank robber. Why? Because it's the spirit behind you. It is the spirit on the inside of you that makes you do what you do. And so if you've got a hold of this word, and the word is on the inside of you, and you're eating on an open book, you see the word, the word has been opened to you, and you're eating on this word, what you eat, Brother Branham said, is what you be, what you become. And so if you're eating on the word of God, you become the word of God. What can you say, man? How can we be written epistles read of all men? Because you've ate the word, and you've become the word, and people can look on you and say, he has done something different with his life. Amen. He's been changed from just Brother Daniel Black. Why? He is actually becoming a son of God. He is becoming into the stature of the one whose spirit he possesses. Can you say amen? Yeah. And so when you possess a spirit of somebody or something, you will do what that person or persons did. So if you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you cannot help but be a Christian.
That's right.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
But what we have today, I believe, and I don't want to doubt anybody's experience, but if you see people that are they can't live it, and they're always in and out, and they can't live it, what they need is the Holy Ghost. What they need is the Holy Ghost. I don't say the Holy Ghost. I believe after the Holy Ghost, you've still got to have refillings. And I believe that even after the Holy Ghost, you can, hey, Just because a Holy Ghost filled Christian doesn't mean you won't fall down once in a while. Amen. Don't doubt your experience once you receive the Holy Ghost. I'm not here to cause doubt in the people. But what I want to tell you is, if there's just nothing there wanting to go to church, if there's nothing there wanting to live for God, I say it's time that you got the Holy Ghost and get on fire for God and start feasting on the word that has been given you. Amen. And Malachi said, we'll grow up as calves in the stall. Amen. We'll be fat on the word of God, fat on spiritual food in due season. Can you say amen? What you eat is what you'll become.
Right.
So if you just feed on the word of God, open the Bible at home again, and don't let it be sitting there getting dusty. Turn off the TV and start reading the word with your family again. Watch your family become on fire for God too. Amen. This is what we need in this hour, is we need to recognize the bride's revival is not a feeling, but it is actually a life that is living through the believer.
Amen.
Are you okay this morning so far? I hope this is all right. Brother Branham would go on, and I'll get back on my notes eventually. He said now history keeps repeating itself. In the generations of Israel, we see revival in one generation, only to see the fires fading in the next. And then God lights the fire again, and the same process is repeated. It is simply the manifestation of the truth that God has no grandchildren, and salvation is not passed on by natural birth any more than there is any truth to the apostolic succession. It isn't the word, he said. You start out with the true born-again believers, and when the next generation comes along, they're no longer just plain Christians, but they have taken a denominational name, and they're now Baptist, Methodist, etc. He said that is exactly what they are too. They're not Christians. You have to be born of the will of God, not the will of man, to be saved. But he said, now these folks are all coming together now by the will of man, and I don't say that some of them aren't right with God. Not for a minute do I say that, but the original fire has died down. Can you say amen? He said, they're not the same anymore. The fervent desire to please God, the passion to know His Word, the cry for reaching out in the Spirit all begins to fade. And instead of that church being on fire with the fire of God, it has cooled off and become a bit formal. And that is what was happening back there to the Ephesians. They were getting a bit formal. Can you say amen? And so we don't want to see that formal spirit come into our homes. We don't want to see a formal spirit come into our churches. Amen. If we have the freedom of the Holy Ghost here, amen, we ought to be able to raise our hands in church again. Amen. We ought to be able to shout once in a while in church again. If God has done something for you, it gives you something to shout about. Can you say amen? If God has done something in your life, you can say amen to the word. Why? Because it's not, you're not backing the preacher, but you're saying amen because it's the word of God to you and your family. Amen. I say what we need to do again is just forget about who's next to you. Forget about the form of godliness. Let the form of godliness fall, and let the revival fires burn in the church again. Let the revival fire of the word ignite something on the inside of you, and it can't die. Can you say amen? So I don't believe that we need to worry about, you know, well, are we going to be too noisy? Listen, I ain't worried about that. I say if you get too noisy, the pastor will put you in order. But until then, I say just take your liberty in the house of God. Can you say amen? Amen. You need to just go ahead and be free once in a while. Why? Yes. This message did not come to bind you, but the word came to set you free to worship and have liberty. Why? Because it's not a message that would denominate. Denomination binds the people, but the word frees the people.
Not at all.
Amen. So the word is not a, when you start thinking, well, the word, you think, well, that's rules. No, that's not rules to the believer. The believer has a love affair with the word of God. And you want what the word wants for you. You want what God has for you. Why? We're not bound to the word by traditions or creeds, but we're bound to it by our love to the word. Amen. If you marry a woman and you love that woman, you're not bound to her by the law, because the law says you can divorce that woman. But you're bound to her because you love that woman, and you took a vow to love her and honor her. Not when you feel like it. Not when you feel like I feel like I want to be married today, but tomorrow I may not feel like. No, if you're in love with that person, you stay married to your wife, because it's love. It's something that binds you together. And then we're not forced to believe this message, but there's a love in our hearts for the message. There's a love in our hearts for this word, and we can't help but believe it.
Amen.
Can you say amen? Amen. So the revival is not just when you feel like it, but the revival is going on all the time in the hearts of a believer.
That's right.
Amen. The hearts of the believer is not, we're not forced to this, we're not pulled to this by a man, we're not, I just want to go ahead and say it. Amen. There's no cult that's standing up here saying, you got to drink the Kool-Aid, you got to do this. Listen, this ain't no cult. You're on a free moral agency.
Right.
We preach that you can serve God or you don't have to serve God. But if there's something on the inside of you
that loves God, that you can't help but take your place in the house of God.
Amen. That's right.
So it's not a do's or don'ts message. It's a love affair.
That's right. Yeah.
And if the Word is in you, you can't help but love the Word.
Amen.
Amen. You become part of it.
Yes.
Amen. So Brother Branham would say here, he says now, he said that cycle of revival and death has never failed. All you have to do is recall the last move of God in the Spirit when men and women dressed like Christians went to church, prayed all night, took to the street corners, and weren't ashamed of the manifestations of the Spirit. They left their old dead churches and worshipped in homes or store buildings. They had reality, but it wasn't too long a time until they began to get enough money to build fine new churches, and they put in a choir instead of singing unto God for themselves, and they put gowns in the choir, and can you say amen? I believe we can see manifestations of this today. We can see where men and women, they would rather just have a fine building to worship in than they would to be on fire for God.
That's right.
Hey, well, come on, somebody. Hey, man, it's not good enough just to have a good place. You thank God for the comfortable chairs and the heat and the air. I mean, they didn't always have that in churches. Amen. Even in the Branham Tabernacle, I remember hearing a story from an old brother in Jeffersonville one time. He said we'd go there, and he said in the mornings, he said it'd be so cold until the church got full. He said you'd just about freeze to death on a cold Indiana morning, you know. And he said it would be so bad, and then they'd crank that stove up, and he said then they'd burn you out of here because too many people in the stove was too hot.
Yep.
And he said next day, he said you'd get sick going in and out of there. And I thought, well, if people would pack in there to hear the words of a prophet, and here today you can have the words being preached in the same power and the same demonstration, and you can't hardly beg people. Why? It's the time that we're living in. It's the pull of the hour. You see, the people that are not wanting to really serve God, they want to call themselves a Christian.
Uh-huh.
They want to say, well, I identify as a Christian, but it's not good enough to identify as a Christian. You've got to be a Christian.
Right.
You've got to live the life of a Christian. The Word has got to work through the believer. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I didn't take it off because I'm going to preach another hour. I took it off because I was getting a little warm, but I'm good. So the cycle of revival and death, he said it just keeps happening. And they left their old churches, and he said they put gowns on the choir, they organized the movement and ran it by man. And they soon began to read books that weren't fit to read. They let down the bars and goats came in and took over. The cry of joy was gone. I say never let that happen here. Never let the cry of joy be gone from our services. Never let the cry of joy be gone from us personally. When you go to church, don't go and say, well, it's just the pastor tonight. You know, because you get used to your pastor a little bit. Well, come on, somebody. Well, it's just the pastor tonight. You ought to go and pull on that man just like he's a visiting minister, your favorite preacher.
Yes. Yeah.
And he ought to be if he's your pastor.
Right.
Well, the church got quiet, and that's okay. Hey, man, well, Brother Tony didn't tell me to say that. I just, you know, sometimes you at your home church, you sit there, and the pastor's just pouring his heart out, and you thought, man, if that man was a visiting preacher, then people would be on their feet, you know.
But
because he's the pastor, they're just kind of used to that good preaching, and so they're okay with it. But listen, church, I think we should never let the zeal in our hearts die.
Yeah.
Brother Branham would even say like this. He said we mustn't lose our enthusiasm.
Right.
Now, I know some people are just enthused about all kinds of things. You might as well be enthused about church. Amen. People get enthused about ball games. They get enthused about where they're going to eat. And some of them's already smelling the Mexican cooking downstairs. And they're enthused about what they're going to eat here in about 10, 20, 30 minutes. And so they're enthused about something. But church, I think we ought to be enthused about what we believe.
Yes,
we have the final message and the final revival going on.
Yes,
let us be enthused. Let's not lose our enthusiasm of the message of the hour. If a prophet was standing here, amen, no doubt there'd be packed walls and packed auditoriums all over. Why? Because all the message people in the whole country want to come and hear a prophet. Amen. But when he set up a church in order and said there should be a pastor come out and preach the gospel, and the very prophet that we follow, amen, we don't follow him because he was a man, but we follow him because he actually showed us in the Word what he was teaching was the truth. And so we see the Word becoming manifest in our day, and we see that a prophet would come and reveal these things to us, and he didn't point anybody to himself. Amen. It's men that would point to a man. It's false teachers that'll point you to a man. I'm not pointing you to a man this morning, but I'm pointing you back to the Word of God that has come in a powerful way in our time.
Yes.
Amen. and I'll read the quotes of Brother Branham, and I believe that he was God's man for the day, and I believe that was Elijah's spirit. Why? Because the Bible tells us it was coming, and what he would do, and what he would act like, and we see the fulfillment of Scripture. We can't help but believe the Bible. We can't help but believe the Word has been vindicated to our day. Amen. If there's one of you that have a doubt on the message, I'd like to go ahead and tell you, this is the only Word in the world that can be backed up 100% by Scripture.
That's right.
It's the only one.
Right.
Amen. I remember when I was a teenager, I wanted to try out something different. And so I was 18 years old or something like that. So I went to a UPC church, and I went over there, and I thought, you know, this would be good. And so I walked in there, and the first thing the preacher got up and started talking about was the evidence of the Holy Ghost was speaking in tongues. Well, I had already had the Word planted on the inside of me, and I knew it was false before he ever started opening his mouth. And so next thing you know, I'm looking there, I'm like, why can't they see that in the Scriptures? Why? Because it's a closed book to them people. They're not bad people. They're not doing that just to be wrong. But what they're doing is they've been told that by their denomination over and over and over again. And I'm sitting there with a seed of God on the inside of me thinking, Lord, what am I doing in this chicken pen? Yeah, they can shout. Yes, they can run. Yes, they can speak in tongues. But the Word was wrong. And I'm not here looking at how the service is going to go, but I'm looking to the Word of God for my hour. Can you say amen? I'm here to break the cycle of death. I'm not here to create another cycle. Amen, Brother Tim. We're not here to create another cycle of revival and death and say, well, we'll have revival this week, and next week we're just going to mail it in, and we're not going to have revival. No, this bride is in constant revival. Right. Brother Brandon would say it like this: when the spiritual bride, when she begins to have revival, when she begins to come back and line herself up with the Word of God, watch then again. You see how that the Scriptures at that time, there'll be a message sweep out to catch that bride and catch that woman elect. Amen. And he says, going further, there'll be a church natural that will be against God and go further and further away from the Word and social gospel. And we find that the women of the world on the streets and members as such is carrying themselves in the same atmosphere. Amen. So you'll see a church and a church atmosphere in the world, but you'll see a bride and a bride atmosphere. Can you say amen?
Right.
So this bride is not in, it's not to be in the atmosphere of the world.
Right.
Is that okay? Amen. So Brother Branham said you'll see the same atmosphere, the way the women in the church are caring. Listen, I was recently working in a church, and real nice people to work around. They're Assembly of God people. And I was working in that church, and you know, you think of Assembly of God, you think of a Pentecostal church. And then I met the pastor, and you know, he had his tattoo sleeves and his shorts on, and he comes in there, and I thought, well, this is just odd, you know. And so he comes in there and talks to me just super nice, you know. And then I go over to the church to start working, and they show me some videos of their baptisms and the confetti that they shoot off and all this stuff during baptisms. And listen, there's no godliness there. It's just a form of church anymore. It's not really on fire for God. It's just a community thing. It's a community effect. And next thing you know, I saw the pastor's wife on the platform in one of these videos. And she's up there in her tight jeans and her heels so high she couldn't hardly walk. And I'm looking at them like, you listen, church, if they can buy that, then they're completely ignoring the Word that is in the Bible. Listen, I'm not saying those people aren't saved people. They may be saved for the tribulation, but I'm not looking for just saved people. I'm looking at a bride that is not going to taste death, and right, they're not going to go through a tribulation. Right. But we are here to make a rapture. Can you say amen? Hey, listen, we don't put them people out. Amen. God knows who is and who isn't. And I don't say that they're not sincere. But Brother Brandon talked about being sincere. It's not good enough just to be sincere Christians. Right. It's not good enough just to say, well, I believe the Bible. Listen, all these people confess the Bible. Sure. But when you look at their life, it shows very different than what the Bible standards are. Right. Amen. When you look at the Bible standards, you'll see that a woman is supposed to be dressed in a certain way and sort of supposed to present herself in a certain way. And a man is supposed to act a certain way and talk a certain way. Amen. But you'll see that these people have let themselves go, and they have taken on the atmosphere of the world. Amen. You'll have a president, and I'm not being political here this morning. I don't care who you voted for. Amen. But you'll take a president who maybe many would say is a good man and a Christian man, and you go turn on one of his rallies, and he'll cuss like a trooper, you know. And you say, that's not the life of Christ. Sure. Maybe, listen, I'm not here for politics. I don't know how to get out of this one. But listen, maybe you say, well, he's good for the economy. Listen, you vote for the man. He's not your pastor. I get all those things. But listen, we don't look to that for our spiritual leadership. We look to the Word. Amen. So that president might lead you straight to hell if you follow him too closely. Brother Adam says politics is corrupt. Amen. Right. The whole world is insane. And so I would like to say this morning, we're not looking to a nation to save us.
No.
We're not looking to a national revival to save us. But the revival that is on for the bride is in the bride. And you are becoming that revival. So this awakening is not a worldly awakening. It's not, well, the world's going to be good again. We're going to go back to like it was in the 1920s, and everything's going to be great. We're going to live. The women all on the street are all going to be dressed right, and everything's going to be so nice. No, that, if you're looking for that, you're looking for something that's never going to happen.
That's right.
Amen. We're not looking for the world to get saved. We're looking for the last one to get saved. Amen. It's an individual affair. Brother Branham says it's not a group of people going, but it's one person. Amen. It's a personal relationship between you and God. And I'm not putting you in or out this morning. Amen. But I want you to check up yourself and say, is my heart right with God? Am I doing what the Word says to do? Am I living the way the Word says to live? Well, come on, somebody. Am I rejoicing when I come to the house of God? Have I lost my joy? Or am I excited about the message that's been given to me? Well, come on, somebody, and say amen. God wants you to be on fire with the Word of God for this day. Amen. We're not looking for the, I know the gifts have been restored, but we're not looking for more gifts. Amen. Brother Branham said that he talks about the least of the gifts and so forth. Amen. If anything, I'd like to see more love in the church and more wisdom in the church. But what I want to see is the Word preached in the church and the people pulling on that Word again and saying, that Word has changed my life. That Word has made me different than the world. That Word is what I'm feasting on. And that Word is going to cause a body change. So it's the Word that does it. It's not a man's idea that does it. Amen. I can stand here and tell you things, and if I get outside of the confines of this message, God forbid I would do such a thing. But if I did that, then you don't have to listen to that.
Right.
You are not obligated. God is not obligated to back up the Word that I would say. But if it's in the Word, and if it's been open to you, then God is obligated to back up His Word. Can you say amen? Brother Branham said that message would sweep out and catch the bride. But you see the church world going further and further away from the Word in a social gospel. And he goes on down, he said, but then watch again to the spiritual church and how that group of people called out, elected through every revival. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He says every revival. And Martin Luther, it happened. And then John Wesley, it happened. And when the Pentecostals started, it happened. And he said it actually dropped the women right back in line with the Word. And then they drift away. And there she goes right back over into chaos. But then the time that the people are ready to line up, there is a message comes forth and they line with it. So God didn't send this message to people that couldn't live it, but he sent it to people that could live it. Amen.
Right.
Amen. You say, well, nobody can live that message. The bride can live this message. Amen.
Right.
The bride can, because God would not send you something and tell you to live something if somebody could not live the message of the hour.
Right.
Oh, I know you're going to make mistakes, and I know the mind battles are there, and I know many times you're going to feel cold on God, but somebody's going to be an overcomer in this day.
Amen.
Can you say amen? He said, when the people are ready to line up with it, there's a message comes forth. We're getting down now. I see the time's running out, so I won't hold you all day. I was just waiting to smell the food coming from downstairs, and then I was going to quit. When the people are ready to line up, there's a message comes forth, and they line with it. Can the church say amen? He said, now, friends, go back with me. Where is the first revival come? After death. The days when the grain of wheat had to fall on the ground, the body, the bride of Christ, he said that he never organized it. Christ, his bride, is that right? His church, he never organized it. He just sent apostles and prophets and so forth in the church to keep it clean. But at Nicaea, Rome, 306 years later, they organized it and made an organization out of it. Is that right? And he said it died, and everything that didn't agree with the church was put to death. And he goes on down here, he said it laid still for hundreds of years in the dirt, but after a while, up she come in Luther. The first little sprigs of corn come up, the second it budded out from there, and then they had Zwingli and so forth and the other organizations and so forth. And after a while, he said, come the Anglican church. And he said, what happened? Here come Wesley along with the new revival, and the tassel looks a little more like the wheat. And then what happened? It organized and it dried up and it died. Can you say amen?
Right.
And the life went right into a shuck, and the shuck come forth almost perfectly like the wheat. But finally, its folly was made manifest in the last 8 or 10 years, especially in the last 3 years, he says. And he said, now what does it do? Pulls away from the wheat. Now you'll see a time there. You can actually, if you follow the message pretty closely, you can see when Brother Branham's ministry would change And the third pull would be open. You'll actually see the people start pulling away. Why? Because it was not what they wanted. It wasn't what their church wanted. It wasn't what how they felt good. But it was actually, the ministry would change, and it would actually be to the elect at that point. He was sending for all these fish and just casting his net, and there'd be thousands and thousands come in, and then there would be a little bit less under that second pull. But in that third pull ministry, he said he would catch the big fish. He would catch the elect. Hey, what can somebody say? Amen. Amen. It wouldn't be the big revival fires no more. It wouldn't be the big meetings no more. It may not be the big, it may not be 50,000 people in a service or it may not be the racetrack sold out no more. But what it would be the word catching that one person that was ordained for him, and then that person would come and become a part of the body of the living Christ on earth. Now, Brother Randall would go on like this. He said, now, there hasn't been an organization start up in these last 20 years of this great revival. It's anointed prophets, anointed teachers, and so forth. But why ain't there? There is nothing beyond the grain. See, it's back without an organization. Oh my, a blind man can see that it cannot organize. It's so firmly against it. It's the grain of wheat itself. The Son of Man will be made manifest, and the grain of wheat will come back to itself again. He said, the Son of Man in the last days, there will come false impersonations of it. In the last days, it'll almost deceive the elected if possible. Aren't you glad it's not possible?
Amen.
I'm glad that I cannot be deceived.
Right.
There's something on the inside of me. When I went and heard what I heard in that UPC church, something rose up in me. When I wasn't even trying to serve the message, something rose up in me and said, that's false.
Right.
Amen. I can see it even when I didn't want to see it. Amen. You can't help but see it once you see it.
Right.
The message, when it's been revealed to you, you cannot leave this message if it's ever become real to you.
Right.
When you see people walking away, why? They've never really had a revelation of this message. They've had a head knowledge. And listen, an intellectual gospel is never going to save you.
Right.
An intellectual gospel is not going to hold you. Amen. That's just the first stages of it, where you say, well, hey, that looks right. That got your attention. Amen. But if you try to stay saved by a head knowledge, amen, that is not going to hold you. Amen. But God is going to come in a certain way and reveal himself to you so real that nothing can separate you from the love of this message.
Right.
Nothing can take you out of it. See, man didn't bring you to this message, so no man can pull you away from this message.
Right.
Amen. This was a revelation. This is something that man cannot do. Man cannot give you. And I hope we're okay. I know we're just about out of time, but I'm going to get down here and just try to finish this up. Now, Brother Branham would say like this. He said, there's been no denomination. He said, and the elect, he said, we know she can't be deceived. And he said, now anointed prophets, there'll be false ones, and they'll be among, there'll be true anointed. And how are you going to tell it? He said, how are you going to tell the difference? By the word. What can you say, man? He said, by the word, like we have it in channel. Do you see it, amen? He says, only the word will separate them, not the signs. They'll do the same signs, but the word is what separates them. And sure, they all prophesied. They all done this and the other. Sure, just the same. Jesus said they'd do the same things, but the word is what separated them. Notice, not the signs. Amen. So if you're looking for a sign in this day again, I said the sign has already come and the sign has already went. If you're looking for a prophet to do what Malachi 4 was supposed to do, he already came and it already went. Amen. If you're looking for one to come and reveal, like Abraham in the tent behind Sarah, if you're looking for an Elohim to come in that way and reveal the secrets in that way again, listen, you've already missed it. But if you'll actually see that messenger has already come, God already had his man for the hour, and now the focus has not turned to the messenger, but it has turned from the messenger to the message. Amen. It has turned from prophecy to the fulfillment of prophecy. It has changed from just looking at the man and saying, I'm following a man. No, I'm following the word that God sent in my day. I'm not here to just follow another man, but I'm following, thus saith the Lord, in my generation. Amen. So we're looking, and in Mark 16, you'll find that the signs follow the believers. Amen. But the believers don't follow the signs. Can you say amen? Amen. So if you say, well, if the pastor could just do this, if the pastor could do that, I'd follow the pastor a little more closely. No, the pastor is actually preaching the word, and those signs will follow them that believe the word. And so if you hear the word and you believe the word, the signs will be there. If you need healing from cancer, then the cancer can be healed. If you need healing from a disease, you pick a disease. Nothing's too hard for God. If you need healing, the healing is already here for you. Why? In this word, everything has been restored. The bride's revival is here. It is a word revival. It is not to make the flesh feel good, but it is to change the body on the inside, and it will show on the outside. Amen. Can somebody say amen? Amen. God is not looking to just make a bunch of good-dressed church members, but he wants to give you his spirit, and so that it will do the same thing he did. Brother Brandon would say like this. He said, in his absence, we are his body and we are his voice. And so if we are his body, we're going to do what his body did. If we are his voice, we're going to say what his voice would say. Amen. If we are the sons of God, let's act like sons of God again. If we're daughters of God, let's act like daughters of God again. Amen. If we're going to call ourselves believers, let's believe the message of the hour. Amen. Let's not look to the left and right and look for something new to come, but let's stay on fire with the message of the hour and say what God said, I'm going to hold to it. What God has given this church, I'm going to stay on fire with it. When the word has come and been revealed to me, I'm going to hold on to it and say, thus saith the Lord, there's no revival for this world, but the move is on for the bride. Brother Brandon would say like this, and I hope I have time to get to it real quick. He said, thus saith the Lord. He said, thus saith the Lord. That's right. It's on. The move is on for the bride. That's the truth. That's thus saith the Lord. Amen. There's going to be people looking for a move of God. There's going to be people looking. I hope this is okay. There's going to be people looking for a tent and where rapturing faith can come. But I say rapturing faith is already here. Amen. If you need faith for a rapture, then the rapturing faith is ready for you. If you need faith to raise these bodies up and be quickened, then I would say if the spirit that was in him is dwelling in you, it will quicken your mortal bodies. I believe the spirit of Christ is here to raise up a bride. What can somebody say amen? Amen. It is not here to cause you to look for something new, but it's here to show you, look at what's already happening. I'm a part of this bride's revival. I'm in the revival. I have the word of my day. God has given me the authority to believe the word in my day. Can you say amen? Amen. I hope this is okay. Amen. But I'm not looking for a prophet to come back and preach any more mysteries. The mysteries have been preached. Amen. The bride's revival is on. I don't want to be like those good people Brother Ram talked about that were looking for an awakening of the bride. No, I've seen the awakening of the bride. Amen. I say, wake up, sleeping child. Wipe the sleep from your eyes and recognize God has come in our generation with the word of thus saith the Lord to change our bodies back. Amen. This is the revival for the bride. Amen. The word is on. The move is on. And I like this. I'm going to close with this because my time's up. But Brother Branham said it like this. God created me a revival. Let me be the revival. Let each one of us be the revival. I wonder if any of us can pray like that this morning. Let us be the revival. Make me, Lord, to hunger. Make me to thirst. Create in me, Lord, that what is needed in me. Let me from this hour on be thine. Be more consecrated. A more consecrated servant. A better servant. More blessed of you. More able. More humble. More kind. More willing to work. More looking to the things that are positive and forgetting the things that are in the past and the negatives. Let me press towards the mark of the high calling of Christ. And the prophet said, amen. I would like to say this morning, if that's our prayer, then I believe the move is on for you. If that's your prayer this morning, I want to be humble. I want to be kind. I want to be more willing to show up at church when the doors are open. I don't want anything to separate me from the love of God. I say, if you have a desire on your heart, then don't let the devil tell you you are not good enough. Amen. Don't let the devil tell you that this weekend was in vain. Don't let the devil tell you, well, we're missing half of our musicians. We couldn't have a good service. If you're here and the pastor's here, that's two people. If you can come together in his name, you can worship. Amen. For wide open. Amen. Freedom is here. Amen. Worship is here. He is here. And if he is here, all things are possible. Can you say amen? Amen. As we'll stand together, I wanted to say this again as musicians would come. God created me a revival. Let me be the revival. Let each one of us be the revival. The revival in me. Make me, Lord, to hunger. Make me to thirst. Create in me, Lord, that what is needed in me. Let me from this hour on be thine more consecrated servant. I wonder if there's anybody in here that say, Lord, let that be me this morning.
Yes.
Let me be more humble. More kind, more willing to work, more looking to the things that are positive. Oh, don't ever let the negative thoughts. We read it there last night to to close the service. Don't ever let a negative thought come in your mind. When that negative thought comes, don't let that negative thought stay. Amen. That's what the devil wants to do to you. Church, this message is not negativity.
No.
This message is a rapture.
That's right.
This message is to you. It's to wake up the bride. And I believe that there are brides sitting here that has recognized the awakening today. You've seen the word has been opened to you. A prophet has come. He didn't come just to make you feel good,
right,
but he came to get you ready for a rapture.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so I wonder if you just play something softly, Brother Tim. I wonder if we could just make that our prayer this morning. God created me a revival. Do you have need of revival in your heart? With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, I wonder if you just put your hand up to it. Nobody looking around. Just, Lord, let me be the revival. Let me be the revival. Let each one of us be the revival. The revival in me. Make me, Lord, to hunger. Make me to thirst. Create in me, Lord, that what is needed in me. Let me from this hour on be thine more consecrated servant, a better servant, more blessed of you, more able, more humble, more kind, more willing to work, more looking to the things that are positive and forgetting those things that are in the past and the negatives. Let me press towards the mark of the high calling of Christ. If that's your desire this morning, I believe this morning you can just make a commitment to God. Say, Lord, let me be more able, more willing. I just want to be filled. I want to be filled with your Spirit. Not just on the days I feel like it. Not just on the days when things are going good, but when I don't feel like it, let me remember that the revival's still in my heart. And when people come asking me, where's the revival going on in your church? Let me be able to say, I am the revival. Let me be able to say, God, who began a good work in me, is able to finish what he has started in me. Heavenly Father, you see these people here this morning. You see a people, these people love you, Lord. Lord, you see a heart to serve you in these people. You see a pastor who's given his time, Lord, for the ministry. You see a song leader who'll stand here at his post of duty. And Lord, he suffers and drives all the way that he drives. Lord, he's not doing it just to be seen or heard, but he's doing it to help your people. Lord, help us all to be able to work like that and be more humble for you. Lord, not for the recognition, but Lord, help us to say, I'm the revival. It's not because of something I did, but it's because of what he did for me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to just move on this church, Lord. Create the revival fires in this building again, Lord, so they could just create an atmosphere, Lord. May every person that comes in here, may there just be an atmosphere, Lord, created, that there will be souls come back to God. May sinners come back and just, Lord, just say there's something different in this building. It's not just another church, but there's a revival going on in the hearts of the people. Help us today, we pray. Move upon this church, we ask in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Healing is here. Lord, do you believe it this morning? Oh, healing is here, and I've seen it. Oh, healing is here. If you need healing this morning, it's here. Healing is here. Oh, healing is here.
just healing for your body, but more than anything, it's healing for your soul. Aren't you glad that eternal life could not be deceived? Mm-hmm. Eternal life can't die. Right? Can't be deceived either. You know, we can come to a time into this gospel throughout the ages, and here we are, we're at a point now where, you know, the bride's not going to be deceived.
Yeah.
And that means that, you know, you can't reason it. Mm-hmm. You can't reason like Eve did. We have to cast all that reasoning to the side and say what the word says.
Right.
And when I stand here and say, I can't be deceived, in my mind,
yeah,
my mind would say, oh, you be careful because you can be deceived.
Yeah.
But I'm not looking at my mind.
All right.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
What has God told us today?
Yes.
That here we are as the bride, and he's brought us to the place that he had ordained all along. He's going to have a people that's not going to fall.
Yes.
And so that's why, when I say that, that's what I'm talking about. You know, the scripture said, he that's born of God doth not commit sin. I'm like, well, I've made all kinds of, you know. But I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about what the scripture's
yes.
talking about.
Right.
That in each one of us is a part of God that never has sinned, that believes, because sin is unbelief, right? Cannot doubt.
Right.
Cannot die,
yep.
cannot be deceived.
Yes.
We'll live forever. It's eternal life. It can't die any more than God can die.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
And so that's what we're looking to. And so we go out into the world, and when we see things happening, all that's what God wants to motivate us to the place where we put anything out to the side. And I've told you the story about my brother. It was a Good Friday, and he called me up the phone at work, and he said, the Lord told me to share something with you. I think there was five people. My Aunt Mary there was one of them. And said, before the sun goes down today, I have to share with you. And I told you prior to this that I'd had a big sore in my mouth I couldn't get rid of. And he was at the house one day, and I said something about it, and he reached over and touched it with his finger. He had this just a total countenance change. And he put his finger on, and when he pulled his finger away, my jaw was like I had put Orajel, like that stuff for babies. And it healed up just within a couple of days. It was done. And so this day when he said, come to the house before sundown, God wants me to share something with you. And so I went there, and I don't even remember what it is now, because it was anti-word. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he walked through the woods and come back, and so he said, I'm going to pray for you. You know, and so he's praying for me, and in his prayer, he stops and he says, Lord, I'm going to stop for just a moment and give you a moment to speak. And he raised up, and no sooner did, it was the loudest clap of thunder. He lives up here in the mountains, and it's rolling hills, and it just rolled and rolled for like 15, 20, 30 seconds, just like it was. And he looks at me and said, what do you think about that? And in my mind, I was thinking, thank God for a message.
Yeah.
I thought that would be Pentecostal bait for sure.
Absolutely.
Right? Now, what I haven't told you before, it wasn't a stormy day. It wasn't a cloudy day. There was no more claps of thunder. That was the only one, and it didn't look like that should have happened.
Yeah.
Now, I don't, you know, he did that, right? Whatever was working there. But thank God for something that a message that had already anchored down inside.
Yes.
I knew the message he was. Remember the voice of the sign. When there's a sign, there's a voice. You got to believe that. And
yeah.
The sign, you know. And so I knew that it didn't make any difference what he was able to produce. Actually, what he told me before that, he said, "Ask for a sign." I'm like, "What do you mean?" Because he had that look in his eye when he touched my finger. I'm like, "You know what? I'm not going to do that because he will produce it."
Yeah.
Because I've seen this. And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, if you want lightning to strike that tree right there, then ask for it. If you want a whirlwind to come off the mountain and go right across the yard, just ask for it." And I said, I'm not doing it. I'm not asking for nothing. And so then he prayed, and that loud clap of thunder.
Yeah.
You know, and so that would have been Pentecostal bait.
Yeah.
I was in a service one time where it was a young Christian. He just had maybe a couple months and he said, Pentecostal church, he said, my hands starts to go numb sometimes.
Yeah.
And the pastor of the church said, now listen, the pastor of the church said, next time your hand goes numb, you jump up and you start running around and laying hands on everybody in the building.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Thank God for something is sturdy.
Yes.
Right. That'll hold us no matter what's going on
right
there.
Yes.
Amen. I'm glad that God is revealing to his bride this word. You know, people looking for something. Brother Bram warned us, and he said, hey, you know, people's always looking for what God's going to do.
Yes.
What he did do, but missing what he was doing. You miss what he's doing because you're looking for the wrong thing.
Yes.
Right?
What are they looking for? You know, the scripture says, and to those who are looking for him shall he appear the second time.
Right.
So you got to be looking for the right thing.
Yeah.
Right? And so Pentecostals are looking for a shout or whatever and all these different things like that.
Yeah.
But you've got to be looking for the right thing. What is the right thing? It is the manifested word for the day. It's always been.
Yes.
Right? Looking for that. And to those that are looking for that, that's who he's going to appear to the second time without sin and the salvation. Right? You know that in 1 John, I believe it is, 3rd chapter maybe somewhere in there, where it says that it does not yet appear. We are the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we should be. But it says, but when he shall appear, right? We're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There's the key. That when he's being revealed to you, not only is he being revealed to you, but you're being revealed to you.
Right.
Because you will see him for what he is, because you will be like him.
Yeah.
You will find out that you're the Word, and you'll find out he's the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's that whole process is that the appearing of the Lord, where he begins to appear. He can appear to some and not others, right?
Yes.
Because we're looking for the right thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen. I am so glad for a message that I've said before, but based in Pentecost, I don't know what I would do if that's all we had.
Right.
Amen. So really appreciate what our brother had to share this morning. I failed to tell you, brother, there is no time constraints. He keeps saying he's out of time. Like, he's not out of time, right? We're in a message of eternity. Amen. And so I heard Brother Branham say this morning, he said, you know, denominations, they formed their system, and it's formed all on, like, let's say, Pentecostals, tongues, evidence. Or like he was giving the example of the Methodists. They don't believe in miracles and stuff. And so they said to Brother Branham, he said, well, the problem we have is because you go to the Pentecostals.
Yeah.
He said, well, I'll come to y'all. And he said, well, you know, we don't, you know. He said, see, that's it.
Yeah.
And so the point is that denominations, once you've went down and you've built a system on some doctrine, and then God comes along with a supernatural ministry that shows that it's wrong, they won't change because they've got all that invested, and they have to stand up before all their people and say, we were wrong, and they won't do that. That's the problem. Amen. So we always want to stay humble.
Yes.
Amen. Pray, God, would just give him strength, him and his family, as they go back, travel back today. Amen. Just give him tenfold what he's put out. I mean, enjoy that.
Amen.
Let's just pray just for a moment before Tim gets another song ready. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we so thankful, Lord, for what you shared with us this morning. Pray, Lord, that it just sink down into every heart, Lord, that days to come, whenever they meet the devil on his ground, he comes and he's there challenging them. That, Lord, the things that they've heard last night and this morning come back to the remembrance. You promised, Lord, that you'd bring back to our remembrance the things that you told us. And I pray, God, that in those hours that your people draw upon those things that they've heard, and, Lord, give you something that you can walk forth and give victory on, so they can see you as the mighty conqueror defeating all of our enemies. We love you, Lord, and we just pray that you give back to our brother all that he put out in tenfold. Lord, that you bless him as he travels. I know it's tiring for the body, and so we ask, God, that you just give back to him everything, his family, and just bless him, Lord Jesus. And Lord, today that you be with us in our fellowship as we fellowship around your word and with each other. We pray, God, that your blessings will be with us now. We love you and ask you. I'd like to invite everyone to go downstairs and fellowship, even if you didn't bring anything. Anyway.
Yeah.